PM here, I would encourage you to scroll ahead to make sure that you're viewing the actual live to the second stream rather than watching a recording of the previous of tonight's meeting that happened shortly in the past. We've had some trouble with public comment. People are watching a few minutes or even seconds behind the live stream of them not hitting the specific window for public comment when I call for that. So scroll ahead to make sure that you're watching live. We'll be moving to the first public comment period for subjects that are not being voted on this evening. And if anyone would like to call in, pardon me, before we do that, I have one number of someone who's signed up this evening. That's Diana Rodriguez. I'll call her first and then turn it over to anyone who'd like to make a comment. And the number to do so would be 610-997-7963. I'll be calling Ms. Rodriguez now. City Council.
Yes, thank you for calling me.
Yes, if you can give your name and address for the record and give your comments to Council.
Sure, okay. So my name is Diana Rodriguez, 315 Broad Street here in Bethlehem.
Thank you, go ahead.
So the reason I'm calling today is because, as you're probably all aware, the constructions for the armory have started. And a lot of the things that we were afraid of, the very close neighbors of this project, are actually happening. So first, as the neighbors that are living very close, we would like to know, like, why the construction plans are not a little bit, like, easier to access. After all, this is public information, so we'd like to know why, what is the reason why the plans are not available online, or at least just accessible for everyone. Right now there is a process which is very difficult. You have to ask for a special request, wait certain amount of days to see if we are allowed to see the plans. And we have to go there personally, and this is automatically excluding people that have health issues, mobility issues, or simply people who are working during the day. And we want to make sure that the plans that they propose are actually are going to be followed, because it's not going to be the first time in the city of Bethlehem where developers do not follow exactly the plans that they propose, and as a consequence, neighbors are left out living with whatever extra steps they decided to take. So we would like to know, like, why these plans are not for public access and easy access. I'm also calling because I am extremely concerned to the damage that this construction can do to this historical neighbor, and especially our homes that are more than 100 years old. Once again, it wouldn't be the first time that unchecked construction damaged local homes in the historic parts of the city. Our houses are more than 100 years old, and for these 2 days of the construction, they have been shaking. And I am terrified for the immediate and future implications of these vibrations to our homes. This is a massive construction, and this could do some serious damages to the foundation, the walls, and the pipes that are extremely old. So my question is, as a resident of this city, who is watching for the neighbors? Is the city periodically shaking, or are they going to check the foundations, the surroundings, the pipes of the houses around this construction site now and through the next couple of years to make sure that there was no damage done during this construction? Because once the construction is done and the developers leave, we are going to be left out here to take care of these things on our own. And I already know that they're supposed to be taking the steps to protect and make sure that none of these things happen. But at the end of the day, since yesterday that they started constructing and building all of these things, all the houses here in the back of Round Street, our houses have been shaking. So I don't think they're taking really those measures, because we are feeling the vibrations in our own homes. In addition, I'm very concerned with the health issues that this is creating. Since yesterday, during the construction time, there was a cloud of construction dust, which is aggravating people's respiratory problems, and this is especially a concern during this COVID-19 times. They have done absolutely nothing to control or reduce the dust that is going into our homes. and I'm particularly, I'm a severe asthmatic, so this really affected me yesterday. Right now, this is the life that the neighbors of the city have. We're living pretty much in a war zone. Our houses are shaking. We have the constant strength from all of the noise, and our air quality is terrible. And honestly, I'm not holding Peron responsible for this, because at the end of the day, they are a developer and they want to make a profit. But I am holding the city and the Bethlehem City Council responsible, because you are the people that we trust and elected to represent and protect our interests. And right now, our quality of life is so horrible that we feel like we've been sold to this developer. And I understand that maybe this is not an immediate concern for the people sitting in the meeting, because none of you are really having to deal with environmental hazards and the stress that we're going through. But I'm sure that you all have families, and imagine trying to get through your life, bringing your kids to sleep, and you're feeling like an explosion inside your house. You're feeling your walls, your windows shaking, and you're trying to step outside and you can barely breathe. This is the life that now, because this project was approved, that we're going through. I'm asking the city to take some measures to address some of these concerns. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I'm not sure if anyone from the administration has anything to add, but clearly, you know, construction has started over at the Armory, which was a contentious project when it came through planning, came before council. And I live a block away. I haven't been directly affected by some of the concerns that the neighbors have, but they are legitimate ones. We did get an email that was forwarded. I think Ms. Negron sent it to you, Mr. Mayor, through Mary Toulouse, with some of the neighbors and their concerns. And I know it's challenging when some of the properties are so close to each other, what the solution is to make sure that you can develop your city in a way that encourages people to come here and live here, and at the same time honoring the people who live in the community and making sure that they're comfortable and they feel safe in their own homes. And I obviously would expect that the city would be on top of having inspectors there and what that process might look like moving forward.
I just received a text from Ms. Carter saying that the city was out today inspecting the site, and they will also be out tomorrow to monitor the construction, and they also didn't do a reach out to the Rodriguez family.
Okay. Yeah, I know that, yeah, Ms. Rodriguez had a few points as far as trying to find the plans, and I think she was alluding to the request to know information in order to try to get that information. I know that can be a little bit tricky to navigate, but if you're able, someone from the administration is able to reach out to her and try to get that information to her so that she can get what she feels that she needs, I think that would be helpful. And then as far as monitoring the process, I think there is a potential for damage to be done there, because that property is so close to people's homes in their basement, whether that's foundations moving or plaster walls cracking, and then what the process is in order to make sure that those issues are taken care of as well. So I think there needs to be a dialogue kind of moving back and forth between members of the neighborhood as well as the developer and the city, so that everybody working together can feel that things are going as smoothly as possible, and still understanding that that's not something that's going to be easily achieved.
I'll discuss this with Ms. Carter tomorrow.
Okay.
As she said, the city will be out again tomorrow.
I just got a message from Mr. Bedoni that the YouTube stream went out, so it had to be restarted. So there might be a second YouTube video that's paired directly next to the original city council meeting, so that when everybody wants to switch over to that one and then make sure that they're sliding ahead so that they're viewing the stream live, that is the second YouTube stream from this evening. Just like everyone, we're working through all our glitches here, whether it's in our personal or professional life, and I think everyone's doing the best that they can to try to adapt to our new circumstances that we have. At this point, that concludes the numbers of names that we have signed up ahead of time. So I will accept phone calls from anyone who'd like to make comment to council. And That number is 610-997-7963. This is for any subject not being voted on this evening. Shortly thereafter, we'll accept any comment from anyone who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance that's on tonight's agenda. So this will be the opportunity for anyone who'd like to call in to make comment to City Council this evening. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. And I'll give a few extra moments here because of the fact that we did lose our stream earlier, so that everyone has an opportunity to get back on the same page and make comment if they would like. City Council is accepting comments on Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hi, Councilman Waldron. This is Jeff Cooley. I'm a Bethlehem resident.
Good evening, Mr. Cooley. If you could give your comments to Council, please.
Sure, my address is Jeff Cooley, P as in Paul, O-O-L-E-Y. My address is 331 Prospect Avenue, Bethlehem. And I'm just echoing what I think, what I heard at least partially in the rather broken YouTube feed that Diana Rodriguez, a neighbor of mine on Rock Street, just mentioned about the shaking of our very old houses and the cloud of dust that's been emitted from the construction site. But more specifically, I was just hoping to have a question answered about getting the plans, or at least an overview image of the plans, so that we could check to make sure that the construction site is adhering to what was approved by the zoning hearing board and the other appropriate bodies. And when I requested this to the city's planning department, my the reply that I received was that I would need to file a right to know request and through an attorney. And I wrote back, I was curious, it was polite, both emails, but I was just curious that something approved by the various public bodies, that plans that were displayed in recorded meetings, like the zoning hearing board, that I've been able to see in the past at City Hall, would require a right to know request. It just struck me, maybe there's a misunderstanding, but struck me as being a kind of piece of red tape that would take everyone's time and not in the spirit of the openness in which the city should and typically does operate. So I wanted to specifically ask about that, whether in fact publicly approved plans like the Armory redevelopment require a right to know request to obtain. And also just want to echo again the comments that I could barely hear, but of my neighbor around the shaking and the dust that's been emitted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pooley. If you're still with me there, I would say, to my knowledge, a lawyer is not required to file a right-to-know request. You can do that yourself. And I think that would be the easiest way to get that information. I believe Ms. Carner or someone from her office will be reaching out to Ms. Rodriguez tomorrow, and maybe you can be involved in that conversation as well, as far as getting the information that you need, and then having a dialogue moving forward about some potential any other issues that may come up through the development of the site.
Okay, thank you. And is it required to have a right to know request for a publicly approved plan?
I would think so, but I'm not an expert on that. I believe that Ms. Carner or someone from her office should be able to answer that, but my initial thought would be yes, that would be something that would be required. But that seems like something that you would be able to do on your own without the help of an attorney.
Okay, I think you're right about that. All right, thank you for your service in this difficult time from afar.
It's our pleasure. Have a good evening.
You too. Good night.
Is there any other comments on any subject not being voted on this evening, or any ordinance or resolution that is on tonight's agenda, the number to do so is 610-997-7963. Council's accepting comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, or any ordinance or resolution that is on tonight's agenda. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Oh, hi. This
is Adam Waldron, President of Bethlehem City Council.
I'm standing on my porch at 317 Rush Street, looking out over the beautiful Bethlehem Valley, seeing high, the whole deal. And I want to say that the construction that's taking place today, you want to know about that.
Yes, and if you can, before you give your comments, if you don't mind giving us your name and address again for the record.
My name is Judith Ross. J-U-D-I-T-H R-O-S-S.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. We're just having a little trouble with our audio pickup here, a little connection. So we were able to get your information. If you could please give your comments to council. Thank you.
My comment is that I live in a house that is adjoining the construction, and it's shaking because of the construction today. There's a lot of pounding, very beautiful machines are pounding, I don't know what you call them, digging dumps. They dug up something that they pounded a lot, and it made the houses tremble. I think I'm worried for the safety of my home, because this land that my home is on is part of a terminal moraine, which I know you're aware of, that it was a sand pit years ago. I don't know how stable it is. And my home is very old. It was built, are you still hearing me?
Yes, we are. Please continue.
Oh yeah, it was built in around 1900. And so it's 50 years older than me. I don't want it to fall down, and I need to let you know that maybe there's some instability here that needs to be determined by the folks that are doing the building. Is that right? Because you don't want to damage people's homes. You want to find out what's going on.
I would imagine that's no one's intention in the project.
No one's intention, but something's happening. So I'm drawing it to your attention.
Thank you. A few of your neighbors also called in this evening. Diana Rodriguez, as well as Jeff Pooley, and a member from the Economic Development Department will be making contact with them tomorrow. So possibly you could be included in those conversations as far as what the process will be for the neighbors, so that they can be part of the project in a positive way, so that everyone can feel that their voices are being heard.
I appreciate that. Of course, you want to hear our voices, not our lawyers' voices. So, I'm happy to share with you that there's something wrong.
Thank you for your comments. I'll make sure that your name is also included as a point of contact tomorrow during those discussions.
Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening. It's a beautiful evening here.
Yep.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Good night, Ms. Ross. Thank you. City Council is accepting comment on any subject, as well as any ordinance or resolution on tonight's agenda. If you'd like to make comment, the number to do so is 610-997-7963. again that we did have an issue with our YouTube stream, so we do have a second YouTube video going live currently. We do have 27 viewers on there. Mr. Bodoni just checked the video and audio. It seems to be working well at this point. So this will be our last opportunity for anyone who'd like to make comment to City Council this evening on any ordinance or resolution on tonight's agenda, as well as any additional topics. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. Thank you. Moving on with our agenda this evening, is there any old business for members of council? Seeing none, moving to communications, communication 6A.
A proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer of Pennsylvania liquor license number R12146, currently held by Louis Restaurant, 2071 31st Street, Southwest Allentown, to Two Forms, Inc., doing business as Royal Farms, for use at a restaurant facility within the city of Bethlehem, to be located at 2355 Avenue A, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 18017.
I'll accept the motion and second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer for Tuesday, October 20th.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Callahan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Colon. Thank you. The clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, October 20th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be live streamed on YouTube on the City of Bethlehem Council YouTube channel. And instructions for making public comment by phone will be posted on the City Council meeting webpage. Communication 6B.
Memorandum from interim Police Chief Scott Mixel with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the Third Class City Code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Tri-State Financial Group, LLC, for business privilege and mercantile tax collection. The term of the contract is 3 years, with three options to renew for one-year periods. The cost is $195,000 for 3 years.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda, Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Eric Evans, Business Administrator, with a proposed resolution in support of a grant application for the Lehigh Northampton Local Share Program offered through the PA Department of Community and Economic Development. The grant amount would be $162,035, and the use would be improvements at the city's municipal golf course.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, advising that a direct deposit for pension state aid in the amount of $4,012,924.11 was received on September 29, 2020, and has been allocated as noted in the memo.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda, Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Jody Evans, Director of the Recreation Bureau, and an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is St. Luke's Health Network, and the event is the DeLong Sports Camp at the Early Schaefer Ice Rink during the months of June, July, and August for the years 2021 to 2023.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Grace Industries, Inc. for 22 West Broad Street storm sewer replacement. The term of the contract is 30 days. The cost is $161,043.90, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Armor & Sons Electric, Electrical Contractor, and Mohawk Contracting and Development, LLC, the site contractor, for work related to 14 traffic signal upgrades. The term of the contract runs 60 days to substantial completion and 90 days to final completion. Armor Electric work will cost $97,997, and the Mohawk construction work will cost $77,357.75.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Reports. My report this evening is that City Council met this evening for a committee of the whole meeting at 6 p.m. before this council meeting. The administration presented the proposed 2021 to 2025 capital improvement program. The meeting was for informational purposes only. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, today's an exciting night for the City of Bethlehem, a historical night. And looking at Administrative Order number 27, I hereby appoint Captain Michelle Cott to the position of Chief of Police for the City of Bethlehem. This appointment is effective October 6, 2020.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
And Ms. Cott is here, and she'd be more than happy after the vote to make some comments or answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Discussion or comments from members of council? Mr. Klunk?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just wanted to say I'll be supporting this appointment tonight. I congratulate Officer soon to be appointed Chief Cott on this appointment. This year, with all the attention that's been shown to police and nationwide and here in the City of Bethlehem, I've been able to be in the same room with Ms. Cott several times as she's led numerous community presentations and been part of a lot of different initiatives and of the like, and all my experience, and even predating some of this year's events. We jumped in a frozen river once for a polar plunge and things like that of charity, but Ms. Cott has always been a constant professional, someone who I've appreciated her thoughtfulness and transparency and engagement in the work that's been put forward on a lot of different levels, especially since this summer. Going through her resume, all 8 to 13 pages of it that were forwarded to us, I can't think of a time in my professional career where I saw someone who was as qualified for a position based on both your experience coming through the ranks of the department for the last 16 or so years and finding time somewhere in there to pursue the education and complete the educational pursuits that you have. So again, I look forward to seeing what initiatives you look to bring forward. I'm sure you have ideas. I'm not gonna ask you to go through them all right now and hold you to all of them, but as someone who's been in the command staff for the last few years, I'm sure there are things you look forward to bringing to the table, and we look forward to it. And I'll say that any way that I, as a member of council, can support some of those initiatives, whether being part of another member of the community or through my role on council, I'm happy to do that. And lastly, to close out my comments, I'll just say thank you. I mean, we live, it's an old cliche with first responders that first responders run towards problems while everyone else is running away from problems. And this is a time where there's not, so we've had conversations at length time and time again for the last few years that our applications maybe are down a little bit in terms of the number of individuals looking to become police officers, especially here in the City of Bethlehem and surrounding municipalities. And the spotlight is on. It is on all police departments. As I mentioned, these different conversations that we're having, it's definitely evident here in the City of Bethlehem. And the Chief of Police being the face of the department, it's oftentimes not an admirable position. So again, I commend you not just for all that you've already done, but the responsibility that you've decided to take on with the department. And I couldn't think of anyone more qualified to do so. So again, you have my full support tonight, and I wish you all the best as our new Chief of Police, Ms. Cott. Congratulations.
Any other council members? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Thank you. I just want to say I'm elated also to vote to support Captain Cock to become our new police chief and our first female police chief. I feel like she's a really great fit. She's well qualified, and most importantly, she has great perspective for this position. at the press conference, she said that she thinks it's really important to remember that people just want to be heard. And I think that really gives, is great perspective, because that's the essence of human interaction. People want to be heard, people want to be respected, people want to be treated with dignity. So again, I'm very elated. I wish her tremendous luck and success in this role. Having lived for 21 years with the police chief, I know that it has its daily and almost constant challenges. And to top it off, I recently discovered that Police Chief Cott, or soon to be Police Chief Cott, actually went to the same high school as me, and she's a fellow co-cracker, so that's just icing on the cake. So good luck and thank you.
Ms. Negron?
Yes, I first of all need to say thank you to the mayor for making this appointment, and thank you for, most especially, I think it was a good move to include former Chief Colon in your search, as he's somebody that I dearly admire, and with his background and, you know, his sentiment, I'm really happy that you did included him in there. And I have to say thank you to Eddie Colon for his support. I echo what both Councilman Grace Smith and Councilman Colon mentioned about this is not a good time to even be a police officer. It's a tough time to be one and to be the leader, so more so. But like Councilman Colon mentioned, through the last few months, we have been in constant contact with now Captain Cott, and I have heard from so many members of the community that were part of some of the conversations, and everybody was very impressed on her way, her manner, you know. And, you know, of course, we look at her resume, and it is just impressive. I'm very proud, I'm honored, and in honor of our former judge, RBG, I will definitely be supporting this appointment. Thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? Mr. Reynolds?
I would just join all of the words of encouragement and support that my colleagues have given to Officer Cott, soon to be chief, and I just would agree that I think that one thing that we've heard from the captain in the last year or two is an understanding of the type of conversation that the community wants to have, the type of conversation that people in city council are looking to have, and I think she understands the frustration that a lot of people feel, but also the potential and the hope and the capability of what we're able to do if we look at, talk about, listen to these issues in a different manner. And I think that, you know, just listening to the captain talk about these different issues over the past year or two, I'm confident that she understands where people are coming from, what they're looking for from law enforcement and law enforcement and authority in general in 2020 and beyond is going to look a little bit different than it has in the past. And I have a couple questions for the soon-to-be chief as far as our community engagement initiative is, but I will wait till my report for those. So I will obviously be supporting her proudly tonight. Thank you.
Any other comments, Dr. Van Wert?
Wanted to say congratulations to Captain Cott, and I know that the Bethlehem Police Department is in good hands, and I really look forward to your work in the future, and congratulations. I'll be supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan? Mr. Callahan?
Yep, thank you. I also want to echo a lot of the comments that were made here tonight by my fellow council members. Captain Cott, I was very impressed with the presentation that you did for us not too long ago. I congratulate you and wish you all the success in your new job. I think it's a great appointment by the
the mayor, and I look forward to working with you also. And I totally support your nomination to this position. Thank you, and again, congratulations.
And I would just conclude, Captain Cott. Last year, Mr. Colon and I had the opportunity to sit down with you for a while on a private presentation, in which I walked away from that room thinking that you could be the next chief of police, and I didn't think it would happen in the way that it did, but I'm glad that you're stepping into this role, and I think you will be tremendous at it, and I wish you all the best. And I can speak on all of council to say that we look forward to working with you. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. I'd like to have the new chief make some comments.
To Mr. Mayor and to council, thank you so much for this great honor. I'm so humbled to have this opportunity to serve the community and the men and women of the Bethlehem Police Department. I will not let you down. I know it is a challenging time right now, as Councilman Colon said, but through challenge comes real change. And I'm ready to get started. Thank you so much for all your support. I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you, Council. Just a couple other updates here. Mr. Evans and I began meeting with various department heads regarding the 2021 budget. The budget will be released Thursday, November 5. We probably are going to do some YouTube or live streaming with the speak, releasing the budget, and more information will follow on that. We did open up the new playground at Webster and the Greenway last week, and I want to thank the DCNR for a grant and the Department of Community Economic Development and Jody Evans did a great job, great asset for South Bethlehem, right behind the old Bethlehem Catholic High School or Holy Infancy School. And Lehigh County will be installing a voting box in City Hall tomorrow morning at 7:30. This will be for West people who live in West Bethlehem and Lehigh County, and I certainly want to thank the executive and Amy Zanelli and Grace Campsey-Smith for their input here and getting Executive Armstrong to install a voting box here in Bethlehem City Hall, which will be effective tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning. And Lehigh University began an active testing of their student body today. We'll get some updated numbers, but as of this afternoon, we have 75 positives, and once we get the full scale of what the test will show, I'll have Ms. Frenrich send a memo out to City Council with an update. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question on that Lehigh University testing. Yep. So 75 students were tested positive?
As of this afternoon, correct. It, 75, they have 75 positive cases.
Do you know how many were tested?
No.
Okay. When that information is sent out to us, if that could be included, yep, so we could have an idea what that test rate looked like. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving through reports here, Councilman Reynolds.
Thank you. I just wanted to kind of give an update on the community engagement initiative. And the first thing I have to do, as we often do, is I want to thank the city clerk's office, and I want to thank Mr. Bidoni and Ms. Calachava for their work here going forward. It's very much appreciative, and I think a lot of times we, even if we have regular interaction with our office, sometimes we underestimate the amount of work that goes into doing things that we think are simple. And I've been here a while, and I think that, you know, sometimes I've got a pretty good understanding of how much work something is going to take, And then Mr. Padone or Ms. Delchava or Mr. Spurk reminds me, well, we also need to do this, 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 and this. So I want to thank Mr. Padone for his hard work here, especially. One of the things that I talked about and a couple of meetings ago was the idea of the community engagement initiative, and that, you know, I thought that we could have, moving forward, two types of meetings in our kind of initiative. The one would be kind of city-run traditional meetings, whether or not they be public safety committee or the administration requested one that we're having in a couple weeks at the end of October, that are kind of generated by city hall and government. But the other type of meeting and conversation or forum is the kind that a lot of us have been attending in the community in the past several months that have to do with these issues that we've been spending a lot of time talking about, whether or not social justice or systemic racism. And the link between these issues and the involvement of the police department, and also just these the different influence that these issues have on individuals' lives. So one of the things that I kind of came up with here was the idea that every month city council will put together a list of these events that are going on in the community. We kind of did it for the first time this month, where the city clerk sent out an email a couple of weeks ago asking members of council to add different events that they knew about in the community to a list that then would be passed around to city council. I have talked to the mayor recently, and the mayor has agreed, and we have to work out the details. But the mayor's agreed then is that once we have the list of these community events on a month-to-month basis, that we will find a way to put that out through the city's communication channels, whether or not it's the website or the other communication channels we have. Now, the process is that as there are community events that we know about that have to do with these conversations that we all want to be a part of, that we will send them to the city clerk's office by a certain date. Now, why are we doing it like this? Is because we can't put the city clerk in the position where people call him and say, hey, I want this event listed, and then he has to make a decision about whether or not we should include this event or not. I think between the seven of us, we are pretty connected to the community. We have a pretty good idea of what is going on. So I think that the best kind of process to do this, to both keep Mr. Padone's sanity and to be fair to him, is that as these events come up, whether or not they're put on by the Hispanic Center, as I know we have one in a couple of weeks about health equity, or Community Action Committee, or different neighborhood groups, or New Bethany Ministries, or churches, is that we will forward that information to the city clerk, that they will then be able to put together a list with links that then we will work with the administration to be able to put those events out through our city communication channels to allow for people in the community and also City Hall employees to be able to be part of these conversations. Which leads to my next point, and I believe the chief, we can now call her, that is Chief Cott is there, and I had the pleasure of speaking to her last week about how I thought that the one thing that a lot of these community conversations that have been going on that will continue to go on, what they could use is real involvement from the Bethlehem Police Department. And I know the chief has always been more than willing to participate in as many conversations as possible, get out to as many of these things as possible, these forums and the conversations. But I think that if this is going to work, and if we're going to expand the conversation, we need to find a way to get not just the chief there, but other police officers. And I don't think it needs to be a lot, but I think it needs to show the community that these issues that people are talking about. And I think a couple of meetings ago I made that comparison as far as, like, we look at, you know, if we look to county 10, 1 to 10, when we get to 10, the police get involved. But 1 through 9 are really, really important as far as influencing police involvement in our community in a lot of ways. And I think that it is important for our police department to be involved in understanding these conversations, not just, you know, getting training a couple times a year, but actually going out and listening to people in the community. And I think that I was very, very impressed with the chief's confidence and intention on sharing that vision. And I just wanted to give the chief an opportunity to kind of comment on that idea about, you know, the belief that we are able to get more of our police department involved in these community conversations in the coming weeks and months.
Absolutely. That's the way we're going to build that relationship, is through positive non-enforcement contact. And not only is it going to help strengthen that bond between our officers and the community, but it's also going to build that equity. It's going to build that legitimacy. And it's going to help our officers remember why they became officers in the first place. Because our officers want to get out into the community. They want to help community members. And that's what our community is asking for. It's easy to try to think up, you know, what exactly the public wants. It's time we listen, not only to our community members, but our officers who want more community engagement. And I absolutely agree with you, Councilman Reynolds. It cannot be just the same one or two faces going to these community events. That's not going to help build that relationship back. That's strained. We need to have it from a top to bottom approach to have all members of the department engaged in community policing. And I'm very confident that the men and women of the Bethlehem Police Department want to take part in this.
And that's wonderful, and that's fantastic, and I appreciate your openness to this, and I appreciate your confidence. I'm only speaking to myself, because I know when I became a teacher, and I've been teaching out in high school now for a while, is you know, it's one thing to be, you know, to when we were given articles to read, or necessarily someone is presenting about the issues of equity, or necessarily our own experience, and it's a whole nother thing when I have been able to have conversations with students and parents and community members to understand the way that they see, or the different experiences that many of the families that I interact with at school have with the same institutions that I necessarily take for granted. And it's been an eye-opener. It hasn't always been easy. It's taken a lot of self-reflection, a lot of, you know, looking at my own identity and how I define myself as a teacher. And I think that one thing that I've come to understand, though, is only by putting myself in those conversations am I able to get a better understanding of where the community is coming from. And I really appreciate the Chief's interest in sharing that vision. So I wanted to say thank you for that. And then the last thing I would just say about the Community Engagement Initiative is to my colleagues in City Council, please, you know, the City Clerk's Office gets busy. So as these different events come up, as you know that they're going on, if at all possible, try to get these to Mr. Vernoni, Ms. Del Chavez as soon as possible, just to kind of make their life a little bit easier. And this is going to be a work in progress. It's not going to be perfect the first month as far as how we necessarily share this information. But I do know that we have the top-notch city clerk staff, and I also know from my conversation with the mayor the other day is that, you know, they're going to work with us on getting this list of events out. And I'm going to encourage everybody in City Council to get to as many of these conversations as possible. Thank you, Mr. Walton.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. That concludes our reports this evening. Moving to ordinances for final passage, we have not on our agenda this evening. We have one new ordinance for consideration, Ordinance 9A.
Ordinance amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the City Zoning Map, Bill 23-2020, is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? I'll just kick things off here. I don't know how much anyone else would like to add. But this project came to us with some pretty strong recommendations from both our City Planning Commission as well as the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, who weighed in pretty heavily against this project. And it would be my consideration to take those recommendations and not support this project for the exact reasons that were laid out in those two bodies. Any other discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Nay.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Nay.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Nay.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Nay. Ordinance fails 0-7. There will be no second reading or no further votes on this ordinance. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a lease agreement with New Singular Wireless PCS LLC doing business as AT&T Mobility for the installation of small cell wireless facilities in the city-owned or operated poles. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Grom.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem and the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of a city-issued handgun assigned to the former Bethlehem police officer DeLuzio on the terms described in the supporting memorandum. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Yes, I have a few questions. I know we've done this before, but for some reason 2020 feels a little different. Today feels a little different. And I have a few questions about the process. How much is the cost of a gun right now? Anybody? It says $300. It says that that is the what do you call it?
600.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it costs. I mean,
No, Ms. Negron, I can say that the market value of a Glock 19 would be higher than the $300. I think the thought is that there's decreased value because it's used as a service weapon, which means it may not be fired in the line of duty, but it is used through thousands of rounds on the gun range, so it has a diminished value versus a new model of that exact gun. So I think the fact that it is used has a decreased value in that. This is, I believe this is the standard rate, though, the 300 that we have passed maybe about a half a dozen times in recent memory, including this year and last year.
Right. And so I knew that, so how often guns are replaced? What is the life longhood of a gun? For a police officer, I'm sure it's shorter than for a civilian. As it goes to the range more often, is shoot it more often, I'm sure.
Councilwoman, there's a lot of variables that would go into that, depending on how often it's used. We do have armorers that take care and service the officer's firearms, but usually when a firearm is issued to an officer, it's good for their career.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Okay, so he has the gun that we're selling. He had it for 30 some years.
So when he initially started at the Bethlehem Police Department, they had one particular type of firearm that was changed. I'm not sure if they utilized revolvers at that time, but they upgraded to something else. And then a few years ago, I would have to check on the date. We switched to our current model.
Okay.
So that's how, and once it's issued, it's usually a number of years if there's no malfunctions or any type of issues with it.
Right, thank you. I'm sure that usage, it has to be, we want to make sure they're safe to be used by an officer. Have we ever denied the purchase of a gun? Police officer?
Not since these resolutions have been coming to us in the past couple of years now.
Well, I don't mean necessarily at a city council table, but at the administration level. Like if somebody requested to purchase their arm and they were denied.
I think these resolutions just started coming to us. I think previously they have the sale of the firearm happened internally without council review. So I think this process is a newer one. So I would imagine not.
Okay, so I know that at some point, as you probably know, I guess, I've spoken with a few officers, now and former, and I know that at some point the guns, each officer's gun had inscripted their badge number. Is that still happening? So they have a matching gun with their badge? Is that still happening? Chief, do you know?
At one time, the serial number, every firearm has a serial number on it, our handguns, and the serial number contained an officer's badge number.
Okay, so that is still happening?
To my knowledge, yes.
Right. So when you retire, you get purchase your gun, which has also your badge number.
It's an option available to that officer that's retiring.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I understand that has to be memorably, of great significance for somebody that used that gun for so long. I just would like to for us to think about the expenses, what we're doing with it. If an officer decides, many have retired, 50 some have retired in the last 5 years, and we have not got 55 resolutions in the last 5 years. So I wonder, so what happened with those that did not care to buy it, or what happened to the gun?
So we maintain that in our armory. And as long as it's functional and that there are no issues with that firearm, it would be reissued to a officer that's hired.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I wonder that. Okay. So then those that we sell, we sold already, then we need to purchase perhaps new guns when we hire, we hire 52 officers the last 5 years and we rehire 50 or 52. We have to purchase 50 or 52 guns.
We would have firearms in supply, a certain number of those, so we wouldn't have to wait to get any in. But theoretically, yes, if that supply dwindles, then we would have to get more if we hired more officers.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. I just think that in 2020, with so many incidents that have happened across the nation, and to me, I feel it closer, because people that look like me have been killed by one of those guns. So it's something that I would like for us to think about. I know the memory of the car. I know. Again, because I spoke with many officers, they helped me understand some of this. But I also want to look at the budget, the costs. Are we really doing something that makes sense? If the guns could have been saved for the officers that we need to hire once we keep on losing officers. So I just want to put out there that, and perhaps Chief, you and I might want to have a conversation later on about this, to see how different it can be in the future. Just a thought.
Mr. Callahan?
Chief, I'm assuming that price that is being sold to the officer or the retiree is the market rate of a used handgun, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I don't know why this was brought up tonight.
I'm a little appalled at Councilwoman Negron's comments about the use of a gun in murders and things like that. You know, Chief has, DeLuzio, he served our city honorably for 25 years. And we have all on council voted for dozens and dozens of guns to be sold to the retiring officer as a memento. And they're paying the market share for it, the market price of it. And to question it now, to me, is like, I think it's disgusting that you would even bring this up at a time like this when he's leaving our department after all those years of service and make the comments that you just made. So, thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? Mr. Reynolds?
Just a couple of, I had the city clerk look this up, and I think 2018 was the first year we voted on this, and I believe that at that point in the last 2 years, we have voted on 19 of these, I believe it is. It's either 19 or 20. So it's also something that I have brought up before, and I think the difficult part on this one is that this is the first time we're selling one since June. And I believe this is the first time we're selling one since March or April, before a lot of the conversations across this country. And I think that it's not something, and if you go back and look at other city council meetings a year ago, 2 years ago, one of the things that I asked the chief to do, former Chief DeLuzio, was that if we're going to sell these guns, which have a symbolic value, I believe, of a government selling a police officer their weapon, that we should take those proceeds and we should put them towards anti-gun violence or, at the very least, some type of community engagement. And I brought this up to the chief 2 years ago, and no budget line item was created. He didn't come back to me and have any conversations. He didn't say anything about it. He seemed to say that it was a good idea, but nothing necessarily happened. So I understand that from a practical point of view too. It's like, we want our police officers, we want new police officers to have new weapons and ones that are reliable and things like that. But I do think that if we're going to be selling people their police, their gun, that it's a situation where we should be taking that money and we should be putting it towards things that we can be proud of and that we can point to and say, okay, we're going to take this money. And I mean, 19 times in the last 3 years, 19 times 300 is $5,700. So it's not a ton of money. But at the same time, I had the same, when I looked through the agenda today or the past week, it just feels different now than it has in the past. And I think that it's not necessarily a situation where we need to vote no. But I would ask the chief, if she's still there, if she would entertain moving forward, coming up with a use of these funds that we necessarily could look to, and we could say that this money is going towards some type of anti-gun violence in the community or community engagement or whatever it might be. And I was wondering if the chief might be able to answer that question.
I am still here. And
sorry, I can't really see you on the screen here, so I apologize.
No worries. And I will look into this. I'm going to look at the numbers, exactly how many were sold, how we got that price, and where exactly that money goes. So I can report back to you if you would like in the future, but I will look into that matter.
Thank you. And I think that, like I said, it's important to mention that this is the first one we've had since June. And it's also something that we have brought up before as far as the message that it is sending. I think that it obviously has the potential, because it is the chief, to appear as if it's something else. And I don't necessarily want to vote against this tonight. What I want to have confidence in going forward is that we understand the symbolic value of guns and the police, and that we are going to handle this in a manner in the future. And I mean, this is the chief's first meeting, so she's been in for about 25 minutes. So I, you know, I don't want to put her on the spot, but I do echo some of Councilwoman Negron's concerns about this and the symbolic value of it. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the resolution 10B? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Tri-State Financial Group, LLC, for business privilege and mercantile tax collection. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Mr. Evans, are there any changes that you wanted to point out on this contract versus previous contracts with Tri-State?
No changes. The extension, the term did run out, so it's they are efficient, they are effective. We use it along with Bethlehem School District. So, you know, we're billed per collections, and this $195,000 is for 3 years and represents our half. The school district also uses them for their portion. So no, we are happy with them and propose renewing. We've been with them since 2000.
I would imagine you were happy if you wanted to put it on the agenda for a vote. All right, that sounds good to me. Any other discussion? 10C. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that the grant application for the Lehigh Northampton County's local share grant program for the City of Bethlehem to improve the Bethlehem Municipal Golf Course is approved. That the Mayor and the Controller of the City of Bethlehem are authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to the PA Department of Community and Economic Development for the grant execution and implementation. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Grom.
Discussion? Dr. Van Wert?
Perfect.
Hi. When this item came up on the agenda, I was concerned because as we know, our golf course is part of an enterprise fund, and the idea behind this is that this is an entity that is self-supporting, that they're able to cover their expenditures with their revenues. And this is a significant amount of cash. We're talking about a request of $162,035. But even outside of the idea of infusing more cash into an entity that is supposed to be able to be liquid on its own, I had concerns about the use of this grant at this time, and I wanted to make sure I knew exactly what I was talking about. So I, with some help, I did a little research on these grants, and I just wanted to refresh myself, any people on council who may not be familiar with these grants, and particularly the public, on what the purpose of these. And so there's three eligible uses for these, for this specific grant. Number one is projects that are in the public interest, projects that improve quality of life in the affected communities. Number two is community improvement projects, projects that improve or create civic, cultural, or recreational activities or facilities, which I'm assuming this would fall under. Number three is economic development projects, projects that promote local economic activity and create and or retain jobs. There are some restrictions, but they're not much. It's a pretty easy program to qualify for. And then I just wanted to go back over when have we spent these funds before and what have we used it on? And I think my idea in looking at this is, are we using these funds, A, to the best of the ability for the time that we have, and B, so that it benefits the majority of the citizens of Bethlehem? Because I have concerns that spending this money on golf course does not benefit just a very tiny, tiny little proportion of the citizens of Bethlehem. So in terms of the, this is within the last decade, in 2011 we bought a new fire engine that benefits all the citizens of Bethlehem. In 2011 we bought a new ambulance, same thing. 2011 we did the loop transportation program to encourage residents, visitors and commuters to utilize a shuttle service to support local businesses. 2013 we bought a police transport vehicle. 2013 we did a fire department hazmat vehicle, and then in 2018 we did two grants to the golf course. And so I'm asking council at this time and fellow citizens, is this the wisest use for this money at this moment in time when so many of our citizens are hurting and suffering? Now we've been able through Northampton County with the CARES grants fund and through the schools to be able to target some temporary internet access. And what I would propose that we do, and I am open to any other proposals that help the majority of the citizens of Bethlehem, is to look at how do we take money like this and put it towards finding out how to provide universal broadband access to the citizens of Bethlehem. If that's not your thing, fine, but let's talk about how to use this money in a way that's going to benefit all of the citizens of Bethlehem. And I don't think that the golf course is it. And so I would ask my council members to think about how can we use this better. And as a result, I cannot support this tonight. Thank you.
Any other discussions from members of council on Resolution 10D? Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Negron.
I want to ask the administration as far as the process for this particular grant, as far as how we applied for this, or how this was determined, or if this was something that money was able to be moved from.
The administration is continuing. We'll always continue to review all grant opportunities. As we talked earlier tonight in the capital plan, in the five-year capital plan, there's a number of opportunities that have different types of eligible uses. From CDBG, which, you know, $1 million a year approximately are used in different segments and census areas, or DCNR, DCED, this is an LSA grant. We talk about liquid fuels or REC funds, and between the number of different grants are a number of eligible uses for each type of grant. And the administration job is to attempt to match priorities, their current priorities, which are continuing to be fluid and ever advancing and ever moving forward, to the appropriate grants or funding opportunities. The LSA, as was mentioned, is specific to tourism, recreation. When we looked at the Ilks Mill Corridor, we look at what type of grants funding has been available in the last several years. And Lehigh, Little League at the top, helps and serves a small segment of the community. It's certainly not the majority. I don't think any grant or a few grants serve all and everybody. Each grant is going to have a target use, and that kind is driven by eligible uses and current initiatives and priorities in an attempt to spread it out, realizing very few reaches everybody. Last year, Lehigh, and you voted on this, Lehigh Little League received grants to do some work on their scoreboards, and that's through the state. Moving down at Ilks Mill Road, the recycling and performance grant allowed us to buy a front end loader. Moving down the pool, again, a certain segment, but certainly not a priority. Wasn't much significant. We're talking over $1 million. Relatively speaking, this is a small amount. When we talk about the golf course, it fits right in the Ilks Mill Road along with Lehigh and the recycling in the pool. It's something we want to invest in. We're talking about thousands and thousands of citizens that do use it. We know this year by the numbers again, it's doing very well, but much like, you know, a Little League or recycling or the pool, assistance for the community and the health and the well-being of the community and the users that do use it. We felt it was a small amount. A couple years ago, this council voted to support a $225,000. There was two applications. Knowing we'd only receive one, we were told and followed directions at that time to apply for two. One was crossed off the Monroe County that was not used. The one that was pursued was in Northampton, Lehigh County. The request of $225,000 was only awarded at $75,000. At that time, different money was moved into the district attorney, used some in National Museum of Industrial History, used some. So, it's always, I guess it goes back to the administrative priorities and initiatives, knowing there's a lot of them. Some are smaller, some are bigger. The health grant we have now, we'll be coming to finance shortly, is over $3.5 million. And one of the issues with that is there's so much money coming in with tight timelines and a limited number of eligible uses, and also the capacity of our ability to move that money out and apply it in all the different uses it can. It's something working through now. The CARES grant is also through the Northampton Lehigh County, and we're attempting to do the highest and best use for that, and that's going on right now. So broadband is out there, but that's a much, much larger project. This is a request for $165,000 for any type of broadband to any kind of extent. Is a much larger project, longer term, longer in scope, and much larger. And while I agree with that, something can be done, would be much larger in scope than something like this would be able to handle, this type of grant. This is for smaller project. This is for equipment specific to the course that would help, an investment that the city and the number of city citizens do use and enjoy daily and throughout the season. So, yes, next question.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. I would just say, though, that I do think that Dr. Van-Roerck has a legitimate point here, though, as far as the planning is concerned for broadband. And I understand that the county executive, through CARES funding, was able to solve that problem in a short term. And, I mean, we have this resolution in front of us now. So it's a situation where I understand about what the golf course brings to the city of Bethlehem. But I also think that it is a legitimate issue to bring up that, I mean, we are not necessarily looking at how much money we need to necessarily fix the broadband issue. We just need to start by studying the broadband issue and studying about where the holes are and where this is going to be a problem going forward. And that might not be with this particular money. The fact that we are applying for this grant, I understand. But I do think that it is a legitimate situation for us to take a look at far as, you know, how are we planning this? How do we put together people? And I know the mayor has participated in these conversations with Dr. Roy and things like that, but the CARES money that the Northampton County was able to deliver is going to give us the short-term answer. But it absolutely needs to be a priority for us over the longer term. And if we didn't believe that before the pandemic, we certainly need to believe that now after the pandemic. And I think that if it's not a situation, and like I said, it's not to me a situation of, you know, us trying to go back and reapply for this particular situation. But I 100% agree with Dr. Van-Roerck as far as this needs to be. I mean, we're studying a lot of things. We put together a plan for a climate action plan, Northside 2027, the pedestrian bridge feasibility planning is underway, is that we need to get this broadband issue on that same path. And it doesn't mean that we need to do it tomorrow as far as finding a way to necessarily study potential solutions, but we do need to do that, as soon as possible, because it is absolutely an issue for us going into the future. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Ms. Negron?
Yeah. Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I agree with both my colleagues. I think that this time and days, I mean, this is not going to go away anytime soon, and students are struggling, families are struggling, and this is an issue that should be on the top. I agree the way that Councilman Reynolds presented it. You know, we've done many studies, and that's the first step, and we need to do it. We cannot wait no longer. Councilwoman Dr. Van-Roerck mentioned how the golf course is supposed to be self-sufficient, and we have already allocated lots of money to renew it, and I'm glad, and I know people are happy about it, but we really need to think about how we are continuing to looking for funding and grants, and what is the real need of our community. We need to be able to serve and the need of our community, and this day and age, that is the one that really we need to put a top priority for, to start that up.
Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Evans, do we have any, off the top of your head, do you know the amount of grants that we received for the pool, for Memorial Pool?
I believe there's a combination of three. They were all state grants, and the total was around $1.5 million in total.
$5 million. I mean, if you don't know the numbers, I totally understand. It's off the cuff right now. But do we know how many people use the golf course every year versus the pool?
I do have the attendance numbers in the spreadsheet. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I didn't look at them, of course, this summer because with them closed, I would have been putting in those metrics most recently. But no, general revenue, I know that revenue is typically $140,000. What, you know, how that breakdown is between season passes and day-to-day, I do not know.
Is that for the pool or is that for the golf course?
The golf course revenue is about 1.4, so about 10 times in revenue of what a pool is. Now, how that equates to people in season passes, I don't have that data. I could get that. I have that on a spreadsheet from last year, being 2019, attendance at each pool when we're tracking, you know, through the year, went back through the years and attempted to get attendance daily at each of the four and sometimes five pools when the old memorial was open. So we could see, you know, trying to track trends for planning purposes.
I would like to see what the numbers are as far as as far as the amount of usage between the pool and the golf course. I mean, off the top of my head, I may be, you know, totally wrong, but I would assume that the golf course is used a lot more than the pool is by city residents. But I know also all three high schools use the golf course also for their home courses, Bethel Catholic, Freedom, and Liberty. And I don't think that can be said for the pool. So, you know, as you stated, you know, there's over $1.2 million in grants that went to the pool, and it's all part of the recreation program for the city of Bethel, which I'm totally in favor of. I think we, especially in this day and age with all the kids on the computers, especially with doing all the Zoom meetings and everybody else, it's very important that we keep our recreational facilities up to par, and I would be in favor of this small amount of money for the golf course. Thank you.
I can make a point, Mr. Walden. You know, we've been talking about broadband, and of course, this the mayor has had that initiative, and we've had a number of talks with Northampton County, and it is a larger issue. The grant we're talking about, this application comes up every year, and it was actually due over the summer, and because the COVID and everything else, that was postponed. They postponed the window from through September, October. So in a matter of weeks, this application for this year is closed. When you talk about broadband, I would just say it's a much larger conversation that includes a big piece with Bethel Mayor School District, as well as Northampton County and the City of Bethel working in conjunction. So both in times of scope, in order to even prepare something like that that would involve the players that are required to be, and Bethel Mayor School District is a huge part of serving the community and serving the students, that would not be a part of this. If it's not this, it wouldn't be that instead, meaning it would need a lot more time to prepare what needs to go into a grant to get the groups together that are required to put together. And while the funding opportunities, we could continue to search, and we have been working through time through a number of meetings with those groups I'm speaking of, including universities. That's a different conversation than something. I think it's apples and oranges what we're talking with this particular one in front of us versus a broadband, which is a much larger scope, but also of highly critical importance, I would agree.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Thank you. That was one of my questions, Mr. Evans, was where are we at with the time frame here? I mean, is it even too late to consider diverting these funds to another project? And that answers that. So, and I agree with it. All the comments tonight, I see all sides of the issue. Being a school counselor, I think that we definitely need to have a priority to try to get broadband in the community. Fortunately, I know for my students now, the county is providing waivers so anyone that doesn't have internet can get internet, but the problem is that there's people that fall through the cracks because that's only for students who do not have a contract with an internet provider now, and I know many families having lost jobs are struggling to maintain their existing contracts with internet providers. So that definitely has to be a priority. But I also think recreation is a priority, and I think that while I definitely understand and agree with Dr. Van Wert about this being an enterprise and being self-sufficient, I think it's a good thing that it does do a lot of positive for the community. They do have a program for at-risk children in golfing, which is great, and providing the golf course for the local high schools is also a good thing. I do know a lot of people who benefit and really enjoy the golf course, especially people who have worked all their lives and are now retired within the community. And I think it's just a balancing act because we look at the pool and then I look at a whole different subset of individuals who use the pool all the time too. So I think we just have to keep our minds open so that we can offer the best resources with our limited funds for the best of all those within the community and you know, not lose sight of all those different groups that have different interests recreation-wise. So for now, I will support it, but I really hope that and ask that the administration look to prioritize the broadband. And when we have these kind of grants that we maybe have more of a heads up as far as what other options are available that we can use this earmark this money for. Thank you.
Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to ask Mr. Evans, in my research on this, I understood that this money is not committed at this point in time. And I also understood that there is a entity out there, a not-for-profit entity that's specifically set up to help cities like ours who are making the initial steps into looking at what does universal broadband mean for a city. It's money that would go towards those initial baby steps, and if this money is not committed, we could look to them to help guide us on how to use it better. I also would point out that the CARES Act is what's funding all of this support from the county to citizens or kids who have not had broadband access before. When the CARES money dries up, the internet access is going to dry up. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the kids are going to not be at home without internet to attend school. So we have a looming problem, and I'm asking that we use this money in a way to make the initial steps forward to look at what does it mean, how can we do it, and what kind of support is out there for us.
Dr. Van Wert, you're cutting in and out on us, which I think just proves the point that Bethlehem needs an investment in broadband. Was there a final question there at the end that you had, or to Mr. Evans?
I understood that this money was not committed. It's not too late to say that we want to use it for something else. Am I incorrect?
No, the window was over the summer. Each grant has a beginning when it opens up and the due date when the grants are due. Initially it was over the summer because of the COVID, they extended it, but there's about 30 days left in order to get that done to do it. But the reality of the situation is a much more strategic plan to put a grant together. They're not just gonna write, even if we did that, to write a check for $165,000 until we have more conversation. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting a plan like that together for a study that until I have time to collaborate with the district, with the county, and come together in 30 days during budget season. There's only so much capacity with time. That takes more time to develop it, to get the people to write the grant, which is likely me in the middle of the budget season or someone within the vicinity, but not just doing it as a standalone as a city. We need time and the attention, legitimate extended attention from the district, and we've already been talking in a number of internal meetings. No, it's a much more complex issue. They can be put together, even in a grant form, for a study within 30 days that this is due. Even less than that, because it has to come back to council within 2 weeks for the approval. Because next time we meet is the 20th, and after that, the due date's there. So we just can't go out and do it until we come back and ask you. So the timeline of this one is short. It came to my attention that it was available. The fact it was off 2 years ago, It seemed to be a fit down our recreational corridors. That's coming together, and the investment that's been made in the community, the way that everything, the course is being used this summer, it's a small amount. It seemed to be a good fit. I don't argue at all against broadband. I'm with you with a lot of that. But in those meetings I've sat in, they've been long, extensive, great discussions. But knowing the long-term conclusion, the long-term is a longer path with more money, more time, and more collaboration between the key players than just something can be done in 2 weeks without those kind of meetings. So that's my point to just pivoting now to at last moment, relatively speaking.
Dr. Van Rijn?
This is my last comment. I understand that this is due in November, but I also understand that COVID has created a completely new urgency in how we do things in this city. And I would say that this is one of those situations that rises to the importance of figuring out how to do it better. And that's why I'm saying I think that this does rise to that level where we can divert these resources, put our heads down, and make it work. I think we're there, and I think the need is there. Thank you very much.
Mr. Callahan?
I think Dr. Van Wert had requested $50,000 in grant money for a study for a pedestrian bridge over the Lehigh. Maybe we could divert that money. I don't know. I'm all for the broadband also. If it's of that great importance, I mean, we could take the $50,000, you know, for the bridge, you know, because according to service, we don't have the time at this point, so.
I think the point here is just the difference in priorities. And I think the golf course has been turned around in recent years due to the efforts specifically of Mr. Evans and the crew that he assembled at the golf course. And I think what once was something that needed a lot of attention is now on a good trajectory. And hopefully this grant is something that pushes it further along that path. And at the same time, I don't think that broadband is something that should be considered a secondary priority, especially in our current time of need for access for every home in the city. Clearly, the golf course serves not only city residents, but people throughout the region, where our conversation about broadband really is tailored to more at-risk families who need access and need support from their city. And I would encourage the administration to help reprioritize and reinvigorate some of those conversations of what we can do temporarily in the short term through maybe working with the county and the school district and the CARES Act, but also what is our long-term solution? Because it is not as if we are going to have any less need for broadband in 2021 than we did this year. So I will be supporting the resolution this evening, and I hope that we can continue the conversations in the future about broadband access for all.
I have to say, I would encourage, actually, I think a lot of things I've learned in this last year, before everything really, attention has been, or our ability to get together with the district as much as we were, it was rolling pretty good. It's against a lot complex, and as we rolled out some issues, had Service Electric in and RCN in and the universities in, the county in their role, the issues of the students of Bethlehem School District crossed city lines into the townships, into Fountain Hill, into Hanover, really made some complexities that we were working through. And but it's a longer term, because as was mentioned, and it is correct, the purchase of the vouchers is short term, but to deliver it into some houses and target and not blanket everybody, because when you want to buy broadband to blanket, sometimes you're double taxing because people maybe already have it, don't need it. So how do you get to some and not others became a real quandary. So we are, again, if you would understand that we are working through a longer-term solution. Dr. Roy, as well as Mayor Donchez, we had several real good discussions in the office, and it's an ongoing, it's not being ignored or put back on the burner, but just not an easy fix. Our IT department gave us a lot of great feedback about what was doable, and at this time it's just very expensive to do what exactly the district and the city initially wanted to do. We're trying to find alternatives that can be sustainable, not only to the individuals, but also to the city. If we jump into something that we can't afford to do with all our other competing initiatives, when we looked on our five-year capital plan and bring on this, what could be a real breakthrough, there's some also need for the companies, private companies, to come along too and become more of a partner in that. So it's definitely highly worthy. I'm 100% with that priority, and I'll close at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Reynolds?
I think that's great. I think that what we need here is, in the coming months or at some point soon, is a study that looks at the different options. As far as what is going on with the potential for 5G coming into neighborhoods, as far as potential for us to sell space on our light poles, which we own, to partner with people to create kind of an organic mesh network, I think there's a lot of capabilities, but just like with everything else, I mean, we have studies with the Parking Authority, we have studies with, you know, Northside 2027. Oftentimes, they provide us the opportunity to take a look at all the different options. And I think that your capacity and all that everybody's doing with the administration and with the school district and with the county right now is that I would respectfully say that you have a lot on your plate. You have a ton on your plate. And I think bringing in somebody to necessarily look at those potential options that have worked in other cities, it's working with our climate action plan, it worked with Northside 2027, I think it's just something that maybe we can find a way to get, and hopefully find a way to pay for sooner rather than later. When we did the study, the communication survey, and we saw that like 1,500 people answered that survey in English, and like 7 answered in Spanish. And you look at the census data, and it's like 20% of our population doesn't have internet access. It's not just important for the school district, which it is, but it's also like increasingly, I mean, we've invested a lot of money and time into that app for city services. If people don't have the app, or they don't have computer access, and they can't report potholes and things in their neighborhood, that becomes a systemic problem. So, and like I said, I think that you guys do have a ton to do with the pandemic, and you have a challenging budget, and I do believe that while this grant is not the place to do it, is I think that one way that would solve this and, you know, kind of put this priority at the top of all of our lists is if we could see that effort being put forth as far as finding money to be able to do that study and take a look at the options, because you are completely right, Mr. Evans. It is a complicated, difficult situation. And generally, when we do that, if we can find a couple dollars to study the issue, then we can have those options going forward. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Evans, do we know, was the grant for the study, the feasibility study on the pedestrian bridge, is that money movable?
Oh my God. Any unspent money in the cap, I'm trying to think, that was in the capital plan or the operating budget.
I know we got some money from the county also, correct?
Yeah, that wouldn't be moved. That was a grant for specific purpose. Once you receive a grant for specific purpose, that's pretty much it. If it's eligible use, it could be, you would take steps, it would take a bit of time to move it to another deemed eligible use. You can propose an amendment. Some grants allow it, some don't. You know, the time runs out sometimes if the money, once it's awarded and not spent, it reverts back. Again, there's a lot of different grants that we, each year that come rolling through.
We would have to ask permission from the county then to move the money from the pedestrian bridge study to the Wi-Fi and broadband study.
Yeah, that came from the county with the support of Executive McClure. So there was, I think, 3 components, if I remember. There was the Northampton grant, and there was a match. Was there a third? Maybe only two. Two pieces that made up the total.
Yeah, I think during our budget season last year, City Council also put in $50,000 for that study. And I think that with the climate that we're in with the virus and COVID-19 and the pressures it's putting on our budget, I think to throw $100,000 or $150,000 in money into a pedestrian bridge study at this time, it's really not feasible, especially when you consider the fact that the pedestrian bridge would probably cost millions of dollars. You know, some of the estimates that I were hearing were up to $8 to $9 million for the pedestrian bridge over the Lehigh, because it also has to go over and bridge over the railroad area on the south side. So, obviously, with the budget pressures that are being put on us right now, I don't see us coming out of it for another year or two. And I think that the broadband idea, I agree with Dr. Van Wert and also Mr. Reynolds that it is an important issue. I teach at Northeast Middle School, and I deal with those kids every single day. And I was on Zoom meetings all day on Monday with a lot of those kids, and so I agree with them that it needs to be addressed at some point. And if we can't move this money because of time constraints, hopefully we can do it, and possibly we can ask the county executive to use that money that was allotted for the bridge, pedestrian bridge and bike bridge over the south side and over to Lehigh. Hopefully we could use that money to put towards this study for broadband. Thank you.
Thank you. I would just add that the grants for the pedestrian bridge did pass council unanimously, and I think the idea of moving that money is a non-starter. If there's any other discussion on Resolution 10D, the clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the appropriate city officials are hereby authorized to allocate $4,012,924.11 to the 2020 General Municipal Pension System State Aid. Among the city's pension plans, as allocated among the city's pension plans as set forth in the body of the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with St. Luke's Health Network. And the event is the DeLong Sports Camp at the Earl E. Schaefer Ice Rink during the months of June, July, August in the years 2021 to 2023. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
I had a couple of questions regarding this. I'm sorry,
Ms. Cramsey-Smith, I didn't see you.
That's okay. Is it too late, or?
It's never too late.
I don't want to prolong this, but I'm just wondering about the cost of this camp and who the audience is. I'm just thinking about, is it going to be a pretty pricey camp, and are they going to be paying rent to the city? And also, if it's going to be a pretty costly camp, are there going to be scholarships for students that are at risk or low income? And I just ask this because having had children that are student athletes, I saw many of their teammates who really spent a lot of money for camps like this, and I think there's certainly value in it, but I also think we need to balance it because there are children who cannot afford these things, and I just focus on the equity issue.
Mr. Evans?
I should answer that question if anybody from administration has the answers.
Yeah, I'll attempt to handle what I can. I don't have all the answers for you right now, Councilwoman Smith. I'll give you a little bit of background on that. The ice rink is a large rink, and it's even bigger once the ice melts. You see how much space is available. And years ago, our recreation started to use that asset. It sits alone. When the ice skating season ends, the ice melts. It's then used by the book fair, which raises money for great causes, followed by the boutique at the rink that fills a place, fills it up, raises money for great cause. And when it empties out, it sits empty. Years ago, the recreation department attempted to start some camps there. It's open, you have a cabin inside there where you can store their goods. There's an open area with nice wind, but you're out of the sun that has the roof. So even on the hot, scalding days, you're cool in the mornings. You can set up basketball in a lot of safe play areas. By midday, you can take a walk across that parking lot with your advisors to the memorial pool. So it seemed to be a great thing. They gave it a shot, and for a number of years, could never get it going, whether it's for lack of advertising or exposure, and there are different things we could or could not afford. Our recreation department is surprisingly small. It's three full-time people, and then it's, you know, you hire up at the season, whether it be ice skating rink or the pool. So hiring a lot of kids never really caught, imagination of the people or the residents or the kids and the youth of the community that would be able to use it. So after some time, that was shut down. That opportunity came up again this summer with what's proven to be a great partner is St. Luke's Hospital, our hospital. We have two great systems, hospital systems. St. Luke's has been active through the schools for some time. And they approached, and the recreation director, Jody Evans, met with a representative from St. Luke's who wanted to offer a program this summer because of COVID regulations and all the schools were shut down inside. He felt that they could set up something with the hospital's oversight and all the CDC guidelines. The Health Bureau was involved, brought in to work on a plan that could deliver a safe programming. Now, I don't have the brochure, the piece I'm missing for you right now. It was pretty much designed for young athletes of different sports and different outside training, some light training that they could not do inside. It was very well received. It was a great crowd every day. They want to expand on that. They want to reach out farther. Throughout the summer, they want to bring in speakers as well as conditioning and different things that a hospital can do, and they can bring their expertise to our table, and it's a partnership. We each give a little and get a little bit. Hopefully, at the end of the day, a lot of the youth of the community win. They do pay rent. Normally, it would sit open, but they pay. There's a standard rent if you would ever want to rent a pavilion for, you know, you approve them at budget time. Whether you want to rent a pavilion at the city, whether you want to rent the ice rink. In the wintertime, you can rent it out. I think it's like $340 an hour when the ice skating, in the heat of the season, when the ice skating teams want to use it. At summertime, it's much, much less because there's not, honestly, a lot of demand. Since that camp shut down years ago, it sat dormant after the rink after the boutique at the rink closed. That was kind of it until season. So the St. Luke saw this opportunity, wants to come with us, deliver these resources, deliver the staffing. They do the cleaning. It's end-to-end, take care of and serve the youth of the community. And they are paying the rent that is prescribed through the city ordinances. I think it's about $100 a day. It's not a lot, but it's, you don't get a lot. It's an open structure. So we hope to leverage each other's assets to further the, you know, especially athletic opportunities for the youth of our community. I don't believe they got, right now this is a right of first refusal, which means it allows them to use it. They had a great year, because of the pandemic that's going on. We don't know if anything's available, so we didn't want to promise and give them a lease that they could, honestly had. So we're both going to reevaluate the hospital network as well as the city of Bethlehem in the spring. And that puts that ability to do that in place. The brochure will come out later, and that's something I will be sure to share with the recreation director as well as St. Luke's, as what will pricing look like when it gets a little bit more. Now it's a vision based on what was built upon this summer. But the specific programming is not set down to, you know, the dates. Those are not set in the pricing. But the idea you mentioned about especially offering scholarships and nothing else, I found St. Luke's has been a great supporter of those types of avenues. I think they would be open to it. They sponsor a lot of community events. You see, their name and their presence and their staffing all over the schools and throughout the community. So the mayor makes an expansion, they made a big step. So we think that's going to be a great partnership. Some of the details are yet to come, but this kind of sets a framework for them to go ahead and now start building out their programming.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Evans. I mean, I agree. I'm all about any kind of recreation, especially sports for students. I mean, I love sports myself, and for all of our children in the city. I just am leery, and I will support this, absolutely, but I hope that we can encourage St. Luke's to offer scholarships, because I do know that when my kids were involved in sports, parents were paying hundreds and thousands of dollars a year for these kind of programs, and then there were other children whose families could not afford it. And I think, you know, that's, again, a whole equity issue that, you know, we don't want to encourage or perpetuate in the city. So if the administration just encourage St. Luke's to make sure that is not the case.
I agree. I mean, of course, again, they're a nonprofit that's, you know, one of their missions is to give back to community. We do understand they have staffing, but the presence they receive now, what we don't know is, was it because the COVID or other that brought out so many youth that were allowable, you know, within CDC guidelines to that area? It was very popular. So if it does grow and that funding, that revenue comes in to support that, they can be spread out and offer opportunities to additional students, keep pricing as low as possible, or provide those scholarships as something. Yeah, that would be a great idea. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds? I would just add that I believe that, and I don't know the exact number, but I believe there was a reduced rate for student athletes that were going there that go to school at in a district that has a relationship with St. Luke's, so being Bethlehem Area School District. So I think that Northeast, Nishman, Broccoli, Stills, Liberty Freedom Kids, they were able to pay a reduced rate, if I remember correctly. And I think that because of St. Luke's involvement with those schools, I think that they were able to have a connection then, as far as having some of the coaches there during the pandemic-related stuff, as far as the St. Luke's there and following the different protocols and things like that. But I do believe, when I remember seeing the brochure, that it was, and I might not be completely right, but it was something like $60 for 2 months or $40 if you went to one of those schools. But I, you know, I don't know either whether or not coaches, football coaches or whatever, would pay for those kids that might not have been able to afford it. I'm not sure. But I do know that relationship with the Bethlehem Area School District led to reduced amounts for some students.
The booster clubs are also, you know, very welcome, and the booster clubs of the respective schools also work to create the funding as the partnership you're speaking of, Councilman Reynolds. Yes, that's correct. So yeah, in the end, we think this is a great opportunity to really, you know, again, maximize something that we can't do with the limited capacity we have, to bring this kind of expertise that a hospital can do and their staffing, as well as the outreach that they do. So we look forward to this being successful starting next summer.
There's no further discussion. I'll ask the clerk to recall the roll on Resolution 10F.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert? Dr. Van Wert? Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Grace Industries, Inc. for the West Broad Street Storm Sewer Replacement. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Amor & Sons Electric, Inc., Electrical Contractor, and Mohawk Contracting Development, site contractor for work related to 14 traffic signal upgrades. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept the motion and a second to consider resolutions 10I through 10K as a group and ask the clerk to call the roll on that motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Grone, second by Mr. Callahan.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. If the clerk would please call, please read resolution 10I through 10K.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 4 West 4th Street to install new panels for existing light boxes, 312 East 3rd Street to install a new sign, 333 West 4th Street to replace existing signs on the residential buildings. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving to new business. Is there any new business from a member of council this evening? Mr. Cologne?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just following up on a conversation we had had previously as it relates to the Human Relations Commission and the wage equality ordinance that had been proposed. So the HRC had met at the end of September. We had 7 of the 9 members present. I also thank Councilwoman Van Wert and City Council Solicitor Spurk had joined us. And at that meeting, and I'll put this together in a memo from the HRC once I have a chance to go through the minutes that were taken. But just to keep everyone up to speed, because we did have the conversation the last time, the HRC pretty much reiterated its opinion of the last time of not getting behind the proposed ordinance that would amend the ordinance that does establish the HRC. So we have received a memo from Lauren Spezial, the previous chair of the HRC, a year and a half ago, and a lot of those same points were discussed again and reiterated at last month's HRC meeting. So just to kind of give everyone a brief update on that, as I mentioned, I will put the thoughts of the HRC in a memorandum that I'll get to the clerk's office to distribute to everyone. Thank you.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Hi. Yes, I just had a question for Mayor Donchez. He had mentioned about the COVID testing at Lehigh University. And I bring it up because I have had some concerns addressed to me by residents that live in the Moravian College area regarding the testing and the protocol. I was just wondering if Mayor Donchez knew what the protocol was at Lehigh. Did they do random testing? Did they test every student? And I have spoken to Kristen at Department of Health about it. She's been very, very amenable and responsive to the issue. But I think the problem is that the residents around Moravian have just concerns about I believe it's only students that are symptomatic for being tested. And I know there's certainly an issue with tests being available, and that's a whole other concern. And I do have to say that when I go around Moravian, I do see the students are all wearing masks, so that's a plus, and I do see them social distancing. But I just wanted to make it public that there are concerns, and I'm wondering if perhaps maybe we can look at having continuity and consistency between the two colleges in our city as far as the testing and the way they're handling COVID. I'm not sure if that's appropriate or not, but I think we'll put the residents that live within the colleges at ease.
I could certainly have Kristen Wehrmich issue a report to members of City Council. I know she's been working closely with Lehigh, closely with Northampton Community College and Moravian College, and they're following all the guidelines of the CDC. The testing at Lehigh was going to be, and I think I'm correct in saying, is fresh, mostly the freshmen, and random sampling of students that live in town. So I think that probably the number that I gave you, I think 75 this afternoon, will probably be higher tomorrow when we get probably more of the final reports, and certainly that information will be provided to you.
Do you know, Mayor, if they tested all the freshmen at Lehigh, or maybe doing just, you know, students that were symptomatic or random testing?
I believe that they have tested all the freshman class on a random basis. I do speak to President Simon weekly, and you know, I was encouraging him to do more testing for the town students, and they were going to incorporate that into today's testing on a random sample. I believe that most of the freshmen that are on campus have been tested several times.
Right. And I think, you know, and I think the residents near Moravia probably have more concerns with the students that are in the town and living off campus. And I'm glad that you encourage, you know, those students to be tested, because I think that's where the concern lies, because they're their neighbors. And some of the residents are elderly and naturally have, you know, a higher level of concern regarding the virus. So thank you.
Mr. Reynolds and then Ms. Negron.
I just want a quick reminder that tomorrow we're having our next public climate action plan meeting. There's actually two of them. You could either attend the one from 12 to 1:30 or 5:30 to 7. Both of them are virtual. They're the same meeting by which the consultant's going to go over the same information. I had a chance a couple days ago to look at the draft of the strategies and the goals and the priorities that the different committees have put together, and it is impressive. And their goal is to release that, or to have us release that plan in the first couple of months of 2022. But if you have an opportunity to attend, I know we're all busy with things going on, one of the two meetings, I think you would be impressed. I mean, the list of organizations that are participating between Lehigh, the School District Arts Quest, the Health Networks, Moravian Community Action Committee, the Chamber, the EAC, it is basically everybody in our community that's coming together with their own ideas about sustainability. And I just wanted to put that out there. And if you want to register for either one, you can do it through the city's website, various places on social media. I think it'll be a big crowd. And it's impressive work. So thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Mr. Grum?
Thank you, President Waldron. I want to first of all thank Councilman Reynolds for moving forward with the sharing the information about the community initiative, community engagement initiative. And I really was glad to hear that you have been having conversations with the administration and that they are also moving forward to make this live. It was super exciting to hear Chief Cott. I have to think about that. It's exciting, but Chief Cott, sounding so excited about being inclusive and making sure that offices are part of it. And I will actually push it a little farther and say that this could be seen as not just for police officers, but for all of us, as opportunities for training. You know, just think about these are, you know, I mean, we should really think about this and, you know, add up to the list of the equity, add up to the list of cultural diversity, inclusion that we all should be seeking to be part of. So I'm excited. I am looking forward to seeing many of you and police officers, especially, to be part of this community engagement. And I think that because for a while we are going to be being virtual due to COVID, it's a great opportunity, because, you know, it doesn't mean that we'll have to drive somewhere or find a parking and find the time. You can do it from the comfort of your home or from your phone, wherever you are. So I'm hopeful that not just the administration, members of the administration, members of the police department, but members of council and the community in general will engage. There are great opportunities. The Bethlehem Area Public Library has done amazing work through the last few months. As you know, the Hispanic Center has the one this month, but there are many opportunities. You know, the YWCA, the Touchstone Theater, they're doing their Unbound Festival Part 2, and it's in the middle of it, and they are all talking about it, and we need to be part of that conversation. So I was excited to hear that. And the other thing is, it's just a question for the administration, President Waldron, all of us. I don't know if this is really working out, doing the YouTube. I mean, I get concerned when people get kicked out, and I think back to the go-to meeting that we did together with, I believe, the public safety, where we were able to engage, like see the faces of people and engage people. And I believe this, at least for almost a year that we've been using it, it's pretty stable. And I don't know, and again, it's just thinking out loud, if we should consider to do go-to meeting like we did the public safety meeting, where people can be part of this conversation in a more, Zoom connected way, in a structure that we know it seems to be strong and safe and making sense. And it could be recorded like we did, and it could be placed on the website, but I don't know. I just, again, thinking out loud. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. Two quick things. Mayor, do you know when the parklets are going to be taken down or removed for the restaurants?
We have not made a final decision on that. We'll probably go at least through the first weekend in November. Then Mike Alco, Ms. Carter, and I will sit down, Mr. Evans, and evaluate what are the projections of the weather. We certainly will try to, you know, assist businesses as long as possible. Weather will become an issue, but we'll probably go at least through the first week of November, then really sit down and evaluate it and make a decision.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I've talked to numerous restaurant owners on Main Street and Broad Street, and all of them, it's pretty much a consensus that, number one, they're very appreciative of what the city did and the BDA, and they thought that the program was very successful, and as I, you know, had spoken to you a few months ago, I think it's something that we should be doing on a yearly basis, an annual basis.
That's my plan. And I think it's great for the city. I think it brings a lot of vibrancy downtown, and my intention is to do it again next year.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And then also, you know, I know there's a, you know, the concern of having inclement weather as far as snow and things like that, and getting those removed before then, but any consideration that we can have to keep it out there as long as possible to help these restaurants out and businesses out, I would truly appreciate it, and I know they would also. The second thing is, Mr. Vedoni, you had sent out three additional dates for my committee to meet for the wage equity ordinance. I had gotten back to you on the dates that I could do. Did Councilwoman Negron or Councilwoman Van Wert get back to you on those dates yet?
I do not have confirmations on that specific round of dates.
All right. Councilwoman Van Wert and Negron, can you do those dates? Do they work for you? He sent out a memo on September 21st asking if you could do October 13th, 15th, or the 27th. Do any of those dates work?
Mr. Callahan, I'm sorry, but because you didn't attend the HRC meeting, I assumed that this was not an important priority for you. So I think we're going to have to table.
Dr. Van Wert, as you remember, County Councilwoman had talked about it, Amy Zanelli had talked about within a year, by the time that the ordinance would get passed, the counties would have their own committees. I wasn't planning on going to the city HRC anyways, because, well, number one, I'm not sure what their complaint is, but it's kind of like us sending something to zoning or planning, and the zoning and planning departments or committees don't want to deal with it. That's their job. I mean, they don't get the right to tell us what we should be sending to them. This is a human relations issue, very important. I'm sure you would agree that wage equality for women in the city of Bethlehem is very important, and I only assume that the two of you would also support that. And we don't have to send it to the city human resources committee. I can't fathom why they wouldn't want it. I know that their only concern the first time was that they thought it would be thousands of cases, and that has been debunked. So, but even if they don't want to, we still have the right as a city council to send it to their committee. They don't get to tell us what we would like to do. If we feel it's that important of an issue, we could send it to them. It won't have to, because according to county council person Amy Zanelli, they will be having theirs up and running by the time our ordinance gets to them. Because if you remember, our ordinance to protect women's wage equality is not going to be effective for 1 year after that we voted on it.
Mr. Callahan, if it was that important, you should have shown up and advocated for your ordinance, period. Without you being there advocating for your ordinance, and court, don't interrupt me, I didn't interrupt you. Without you being there advocating for something that was so important, there was nobody there to coordinate and say how, answer their questions, answer their concerns, collaborate, and figure out a way to move it forward. Without you being there, that was not going to happen. I'm not going to engage in a dialogue with you back and forth about it. That's what happened, period.
Are you in support of the ordinance? Dr. Van Wert, I'm not trying to put gotcha. It's a pro-women.
Again, I'm not going to engage in a dialogue about this with you. This is not the appropriate time.
Were you at the meeting, though?
I attended the entire long meeting.
Did you bring up the fact that you were supportive of the ordinance? Did you, at the last...
Mr. Callahan, again, I'm not going to argue about this with you. I was the only one even speaking in support of the ordinance. You were not there.
All right, so let's get back to the point. We need to schedule a committee meeting so we can pass the ordinance and then send it to the county HRC committees, which County Councilwoman Amy Zanelli is working on as we speak. So I would appreciate it if Mr. Vedoni could send out another round of dates, and I think it would be fair to say that if you don't want to meet, then I would be in favor of, at the next meeting, asking council to bring it to full council and let everybody, you know, let everybody on. I don't know why this is such a difficult thing. It's a great ordinance. All the women groups in the Lehigh Valley are in favor of it. I haven't heard anything. I don't know why you're making a face, Dr. Van Wert, but Councilwoman Grace Smith is also in favor of it. And I think that everybody on council should have the right to vote on this. And if you don't want to in committee, then I think that we should just bring it to full council and let full council at least discuss it and vote on it. Mr. Vedoni, could you please make one last attempt to Dr. Van Wert, myself, and Ms. Negron to send out some additional dates? And if they again refuse to answer or even reply to any of the dates, then I think what we need to do is ask council to bring it out of committee so we can discuss it.
I will send out a new round of dates. They may be, it's getting very tight in town hall, so they may be more dispersed than the last round.
That's fine.
They go into November or December,
even. You know.
But I will send another round out.
Thank you.
I have one thing to add to new business. I was in communication with the director of the Parking Authority, Steve Fernstrom, about coming before council and giving us a bit of an update about the state of two garages that have been, you know, talked about recently between Walnut and Polk, and what those statuses are and what the Parking Authority's plans are in the near future for those two, as well as just a general update. So he agreed to join us at the next council meeting to give us an update and maybe answer some questions from council. So that should be on the agenda for the next meeting 2 weeks from tonight. Is there any other new business from members of council? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.